Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker, Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. I am Skip LaCour, and during this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast, what I like to do is go beyond the sets and reps, beyond the eating plans, but I'm going to do everything I can to help you in those areas, but I want you to get even more than that, in addition to the basic strategies, the complex strategies, whatever you're looking for, and getting to the mindset of what it takes to be successful. It's not just my own mindset. I have a special guest on this podcast for you to climb into his mind for the time that we spend together, a successful mind, and his name is Eric Helms. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Skip. Thanks for having me.
And so the people who are new in my circles, this is a different endeavor for me. You've heard me talk on and on and on and on and on and on and on about bodybuilding, about confidence, about leadership, right? So why would I have a guest on? And boy, this guy must be impressive if he's going to be on one of my podcasts. And that's definitely true. I want you to explain to you the prerequisite. I mean, what attracted me about Eric Helms to have him on a podcast? And more importantly, what value I know he's going to provide for you. So number one is, in this, all the experts out there in bodybuilding and fitness or so-called experts, all this information that you hear every day that's probably confusing the hell out of you. I know how it works, right? It's someone who catches my attention out of all those people, right? So if there's something about one of my guests, if there's something about Eric that is catching my attention, you knowing me, you should get value out of it. Secondly, I'm so impressed by people who are crazy passionate about what they do. They live it. They breathe it. I mean, they're so passionate about it, you might go, whoa, right? And to me, that's so impressive. And there's something that we can learn about people who totally go for it and take a leadership role because they're so passionate about it. So they're passionate, and they take a leadership role. And the other thing is, there's something about them that I want to learn that maybe I am not as passionate about it. Maybe I have certainly not become the expert in what they've put so much time, energy, and effort in. But I know I can grab a little piece of it and pull it into my world and integrate it to what I'm doing to become better at what I do. Right? So that's why I have guests on this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. And that's why I have Eric Helms here today to provide value to you. So let me tell you about Eric Helms. If you have not heard of this young gentleman, he's a bodybuilder, power lifter. Maybe I'll have him help describe himself, right? But I'm going to do my best. He's a 3D MJ coach, 3D Muscle Journey. It's a group of coaches helping natural bodybuilders. That's where they focus on, become their very best contest preparation. But I'm sure it's more than that. I'll have Eric talk to you about that. He lives in Auckland, New Zealand, where he studies strength and conditioning at AUT University, the Auckland University of Technology. You know, some of his raving fans, he's built up quite a fan base. And, you know, I'm glad to be introducing you to Eric, if you haven't heard of him to this point. But some of his fans have called him one of the top men in natural bodybuilding, right? Just most recently wrote an article about metabolic adaptation, co-authored it. And you might hear that if you're a person who soaks up all this information about bodybuilding, fitness, training on the internet, heard about metabolic adaptation. And is it an unavoidable diet killer or an imaginary boogeyman, right? He co-authored that, so it's going to be interesting to hear his views on that. I would say what brought my attention to Eric is how the passion that he put into an area of this niche within the niche within the niche of bodybuilding and training is the amount of thought and research he went into about what can be achieved as a natural bodybuilder. That's what really drew my attention to Eric and made me reach out. We talked about a lot of things, but again, passion, dedication, something that he's really working hard to really break down the science, break down the mindset, the strategies to become the very best you can be in this. So, Eric, how are you doing today? How was that for an introduction? Did I miss anything? How would you describe yourself?
Well, I would say, first off, that was flattering, and you did me great honor by describing me in that way, and I appreciate it. And to hear from you that my passion sticks out and that my commitment to trying to help others and bring them information is what brought me to the show is just a gem to hear, and I appreciate it. How would I describe myself? Probably I would say that I'm somebody who got bitten by the iron bug, and that bite also included my brain, and I really, really enjoyed the science behind the sport. And bodybuilding for me, and I think for all of us at 3DMJ and basically our mission, is trying to use bodybuilding in a way that is creating balanced, healthy, successful people. So it's like you said, it goes beyond the sets and reps, and it has much more to do with bodybuilding being more of a physical expression of growth. So really emphasizing that building aspect of it. So that's what I'm about. I love the science of it. I love training. I love to lift heavy things, and I like to help other people.
Awesome, awesome.
As simple as I can get it.
Well, I know that my audience is going to be get a thrill, going to learn something from you here today. So let's back up. So let's talk about, you know, your journey. I always find it fascinating how people got into the whole bodybuilding and training world. You know, you talked about, you know, just lifting, but tell me the thought behind it. What were you like as a kid? Why was it that bodybuilding and training stuck out? And I'm sure that, you know, in your young life, there was other things that you tried that didn't stick. Why did this stick? What, as you look back, maybe you haven't put a lot of thought into this, but why did bodybuilding stick for you?
That's a good question. And so I got into bodybuilding right around the age of 21, I guess, training seriously. And in high school, you know, I ran track. I did martial arts as a young man, a very young man, really. And, you know, I was physically active when I joined the Air Force at a high school. But none of those things I really enjoyed. It was kind of like I was doing it because I was supposed to. I did track because it's very hard to be socially accepted in high school if you're not doing some sport. I joined the Air Force to help me get to a career. I originally wanted to get into law enforcement and then work for the government, and it never struck a chord with me. I was never passionate about it, and very quickly I found myself, you know, finishing out an enlistment and not knowing what I wanted to do with my spare time. And I went through a bit of a personal emotional crisis when I was, say, 20, 21, and I needed some type of outlet. And, you know, there were a lot of unhealthy outlets that I could have turned to, but I was fortunate enough to have a friend who, I guess, saw that I was in need, and he said, "Hey, why don't you come train with me?"
Uh-huh.
And I think the very first workout, he was a follower of, you know, Arnold's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding.
So right,
this was,
right.
You know, very, very traditional, right?
Kind of still to this day, a 16-year-old is a follower from that book. It's that influential, so certainly understand that.
So, you know, we were doing workouts right out of that book. I remember, I think my first workout, I threw up, and we were doing deadlifts. And it was like literally like one plate for 10 reps, you know?
Uh-huh.
And oddly enough, something about that, what most people would probably think would turn them away from a sport, you know, throwing up, hurting your back, it bit me. I think there was something about the physical release. I don't think it started healthy for me, to be honest. You know, when I first started lifting, I was kind of expressing some of that angst that I was going through. It was almost therapeutic, and I guess
you know, I got to climb into mine. I got to do my people
go
a
for
service,
it.
Right?
Go for it.
I'm not going to let you gloss over. You know, if you can be transparent, if you feel comfortable, what was that angst that you're going through? Because I know there's probably thousands of people who are going to hear this, not just now and over the years, who can identify with whatever that angst that you're kind of glossing over, right? What was it
sure.
at that time that you're going
sure.
through?
And the reason I gloss over it is because it also has to do with a personal relationship. So I take care to make sure that it's not, you know, putting someone else's business out there. But basically, I was with a very, very serious girlfriend at that time. And we were in a long-distance relationship. We'd been together a little over 3 years at that point. And she was basically physically assaulted while I wasn't in the same state as her. I couldn't take leave because I was technically on deployment at the time. I couldn't go and support the person, and I felt extremely powerless. That's probably the best way I can describe it. And I knew it was either going to be something like, you know, alcohol or getting in fights at bars or something your typical 21-year-old in the military would probably do. And I was fortunate enough to find that friend who brought me into this training to find some kind of physical outlet. So because of that, I think it took a slightly self-destructive kind of obsessive, tilt when I got into training. Because it was motivated by anger rather than that desire to self-fulfill. You know?
Right. And with my experience with dealing, you know, my personal experiences, to some level there, what bodybuilding does, and you tell me if this is true in your case, it gives you that level of control where somewhere in our journey in life, that control was taken away from us, a somewhat traumatic experience. There's nothing that you could do. You know, you're in a different country. And that's what trauma is. When something unfortunate happens, you didn't ask for it, you don't deserve it, and there's nothing you can do, right? Definition of trauma. And what do people do? Want to control, right?
That's
a lot.
It's satisfying tracking every macronutrient and every rep and every set when some other aspect of your life you can't do that with. I would agree 100%.
Yeah, I know. And I think a lot of people can identify with that in some way, shape, or form, whether it's something traumatic. Let me push you here, right? This is your dad figure, Skip, who's been around the block, has studied the mindset of a champion for a long time, right? Usually 21 years old, we're pretty much solid, right? You mentioned some things. I'm listening to you, right? High school and getting away from those team sports and feeling this, you know, I know a lot of the mindset when someone does join the military out of high school. Take me back. Did you feel some of that control, lack of control, younger in life too? You haven't thought about this.
You know, I'm sure there were roots there.
Uh-huh.
I think it's not like one traumatic event totally changes someone's personality. I think it more just turns the volume up on whatever was already there.
All right.
You know,
but there was nothing you could track back like. You know, I've had, you know, people who I coach. And again, the type of coaching that I do is less about what you do. And we're going to talk about it. I want you to, how you get people ready for contests. You get them in great shape, conditioning. That's what your guys are all about. Mine is more life coaching. It's putting all this together, a great physique and everything together, the big picture, right? And so they'll talk about something that happened, I don't know, at 8 years old where they lost the game, you know, for – you know, the team, and that just crushed them, you know, and so they, you know, had this, they despise team sports. And sometimes some of the ones that aren't quite as evolved, they'll say, you know, I don't like counting on other people. How many times have you heard that when someone says their bio in bodybuilding training? Have you heard that a lot?
I have heard that. Yeah, that's a common theme.
Yeah, they don't like being dependent. What I like about bodybuilding, I can control everything. People won't let me down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the people who are more evolved, what they realize, you know, at least for some people, is that they don't like being in the position to let other people down either, right? So when they can kind of control this, I'll tell you, it's a perfect storm to make a magnificent bodybuilder, I'll tell you that, right? You know?
I would agree. Yeah, because it allows you to fully delve into the focus you need to be successful.
And get total power out of it and belief, and it becomes your identity that you're on a mission. This is what you were sent down from heaven to do all this. And when we talked a little bit before this podcast, you talked about people connected to their vision. That really helps them get through all the information overload to achieve their goals and things like that. When they're really connected to it, I'll tell you, when it's your identity that this guy's put on this earth to do, you know, it really, like I said, creates this perfect storm for mastery and a total level of passion and dedication and, you know, extreme physical development. And I know you're really passionate about natural bodybuilding. And so, you know, that's a topic that you wrote about, you talked about, and that's that intangible factor this whole mindset thing that goes far beyond what the physical body can and can't do, right? You know, I'll tell you, a guy, you know, and with that mindset, they can achieve some amazing things naturally, right? Mm. And it's just funny, and you'll hear a comment, and I really want to get into the natural body, your points of view and things like that, where, you know, this is something I would get all the time. And I hear it like we mentioned Doug Miller. Well, if he's so awesome, why doesn't he just take drugs and be Mr. Olympia or whatever, right? Well, what they don't understand is there's a whole different mindset that it isn't the perfect storm or the sequence of events or how everything was arranged in their life to create a mindset. So they can't even identify how a person could put so much dedication, intensity, effort, passion into it. I'll tell you what, brother, man, I'm looking at you know, your studies on protein and things like that. I'm going, whoa, man, I appreciate guys like you doing this for me, but can you just give me the cliff notes? Because I'm just going to eat and train, right? Okay. But see, there's something beyond just an interest in protein. There's something that's driving you, right? And that's what I love getting out of these conversations with successful, driven, passionate leaders like yourself. And I think you're giving us a glimpse into that. Which
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, which goes into, you know, another question I get commonly asked, and I've been asked many, many times throughout the year. And I'm sure you, as a coach, especially, you know, people who want to, you know, become competitive bodybuilders, do well in the show. Some do very well, I'm sure. And then there's some people that we don't hear about, right? No coach is going to put, hey, this guy peter out after 3 weeks, right? But they can't find the reasons in their mind to be so imbalanced to be great. So you mentioned the word balance. So I'm interested in what your definition of balance is, because everybody's looking, you know, for that balance, and everybody has different definitions. And, you know, you talked about the 3DMJ, 3D muscle journey, the coaches, your philosophy, your mission is to create that balance. What is that balance when it comes to this bodybuilding and training?
That's a great question. And I think that balance is going to be differently defined by each person, because it's really about finding balance in your life. Like you said, a lot of the times what draws someone to actually decide, yeah, I want to get on stage in a Speedo, diet for half a year, and push myself to the absolute nth degree, it's a perfect storm that gets them there. And it requires almost, at least initially, this kind of obsessive, laser-like focus. And I think that can be a very, very useful tool to be successful in bodybuilding, but sometimes that can shut out other aspects of their life.
Sure,
It can be detrimental. And I'm sure you've seen this as well with as long as you've been in the sport. There's people who
I've experienced it. I've experienced it. I think where I'm at in my life is it's still recreating the balance to take up that vacuum, that vortex that was taken away, and now where I am right now. So yeah, I definitely, you know, it's not just observing it. I felt it myself, right? And I have better perspective on it now, too.
Yeah, and that's true of all four of us coaches. That's why we're so passionate about helping people find balance, is because we've all, to varying degrees, have experienced that, you know. For me, it was my first contest season and blowing up, gaining nearly 50 pounds in 2 months because I couldn't control my binge eating afterwards, because I had used such a, I'd say, extreme approach the first time. And I knew that I wouldn't be long for the sport if I kept that up, but I love the sport, so it was this kind of internal struggle.
Right.
So finding the answer for me led to, hey, I know I'm not alone. I want to help other people find that answer. And like you said, so what is balance? It's different for everybody, but essentially it's that end goal of that everyone really has is happiness. You know, so making sure that bodybuilding is something that is making your life better, rather than something you're doing because you can't or you don't know how to do anything else, but it's not necessarily making you happy.
Now, what makes you happy or what you've committed to being happy, is that something that may change? Can you think that something makes you happy, and then is this all there is, and then that evolves and changes too?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think so. I think, I don't know what I'll be doing in 15 years, but this is certainly the longest I've stuck with anything. You know, the whole coaching and bodybuilding thing, and even that has evolved. You know, I think I was probably more focused on let's get people shredded, let's you know, grow the most muscle as possible. And now these days I find myself, like you were talking about, there's more of an aspect of life coaching than there is nutritional and training guidance in what I do with clients, you know? So
let
yeah,
me ask you a question.
Evolves.
You're a coach, right? You've got a bigger picture. You're definitely more evolved on your journey than maybe some of the people who come to you for the first time, right? So what if you have a guy who is imbalanced? He does not have these bigger picture reasons why he wants to enter the contest, right? What do you do? This is a tough question, I know, right? Do you let him put his head down? The rest of his life just sucks. And doing this contest is going to put him in more pain. And, you know, you talk about balance. Sometimes it's okay to go into short-term pain, do this, check this off your list, what is, take all the benefits. And then, but what's the big picture where it's going to be balanced out later, right? But this guy has no clue. Do you put him down that path to be totally focused? Or what do you do? That's a dilemma, right, as a coach?
That's a great question. And in the end, it is the client's path. And what I always do is I'm just honest with the person. You know, I tell them from the beginning that I'm going to be here. You know, they're the captain of the ship. I might be the first mate who gives them their advice. I might be all the other people on the ship who are saying, you know, here's what I think makes the most sense. Here's how we should steer. Here's the best way to avoid the headwinds. You know, you get the analogy. But in the end, they're the captain, and
right.
and if they want to go down that path, that's their call. Now, that said, I can say, no, thanks, I don't want to work on the ship. But before that, what I try to do is I try to share my perspective. I try to give them just a really honest, objective, compassionate feedback to you know, what it looks like they're doing from the outside. A lot of the times, I'll have to put that message in the language they're currently speaking. So if there's someone who's completely uber focused on winning,
right,
and all they care about is getting on stage and taking home the trophy, I try to explain to them how that uber focus on winning might actually take them out of the sport early. They won't be competing when they're 50. I ask them, hey, do you want to be competing when you're 50, 60? You know, do you want to be in the master's class? And that kind of gets them out of there, and they go, yeah, of course I do. And I go, well, look, man, you're 23 and you live and die on whether or not you hit a PR in the gym. You live and die on what your placing is. How much emotional beating up can you take? Because there's always going to be someone better. You can't always be the guy who's first place, especially in a subjective sport like bodybuilding. How about we try to focus on you being your best and not worrying about the placing and that being the goal? Just you beat you, you know?
All right, I'm going to ask you another tough question. I've heard a lot about all the success stories of 3DMJ, right? And you know, that's your business. That's your livelihood. You've gone through it. You've got a lot of expertise to share, right? I'm going to ask a tough question. That person who is myopic, he's just total tunnel vision, maybe a little imbalanced. Do those make the best clients? Are those the best poster children for your company, your brand?
No, I don't think they are.
Okay.
And we don't typically put our, you know, we do something every year. We've done it since the start, and we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary now. We pick 2 sponsored athletes every year. Now you might think, you know, we put it out there. Hey, who wants a free year of coaching? We're going to sponsor you. It's not about, you know, who gives us the pictures. Who's like, oh, that guy's going to be definitely, you know, Yorton Cup champion. You know, believe it or not, we have had high level WNBF and IFPA pros put in applications, and we've told them, you know, thanks, but no thanks. You're doing a lot of great things. I don't think you need our help. But if there's someone who is really displaying the 3Ds, has a lot of balance, and can be an ambassador for approaching bodybuilding in a healthy way, that's probably who we're going to choose. Are we looking at physiques? Of course. You know, we definitely, I mean, part of bodybuilding is having a great physique. There's nothing,
right.
nothing right. wrong
Picture
with that.
Picture tells, you know, 1,000 words, probably a million now with social media, right?
Yeah, exactly. But we want that physique to also be representative of what's going on inside. And
can't see that in a picture, Eric.
Exactly right. Yeah. So you know, we have when our sponsored athletes, they do an application and then they write an essay and then we contact them on the phone and then we make a decision. And like I said, it's not just basically a physique contest where the 4 of us are the judges online and then choose 2 athletes. We choose athletes who we think can show, hey, you know, you can do this bodybuilding thing and do it in a balanced way. You can do it in a way that makes you, you know, a better person, rather than it being this push and pull sacrifice between having a life and having a bodybuilding life, you know, which I think it can be represented as sometimes.
Right. You talk about sponsorship you're probably piquing a lot of interest in, hey, I want to be sponsored like that. I want to do a show. Right now, tell me about this sponsorship. Do you choose somebody and then they get free coaching from all you experts for the whole contest period? I mean, how does that work?
And so basically what we do at the end of every year, and we're coming up on it soon. We've actually got a team meeting and we're going to roll it out. And last year we were super belated because there was a lot of end of year shows and we were just busy as heck. But we eventually didn't even get it out till February. But normally in December and January, we put it out on you know social media and all that, that, hey, we're taking applications for a sponsored athlete. And what we do is we give that athlete free coaching up until they're basically a contest season is over and then in the coming year. In return, basically, we ask them to be an ambassador for not only, you know, 3D Muscle Journey, but also natural bodybuilding. We've had a lot of cool athletes. One of our very first sponsored athletes was a guy named Richard Knapp, who became the first WMBF wheelchair pro. I think he's currently now retired from competing, but just people like that who really speak to us, inspire us as coaches and as people who we think people can learn from or who we normally select. And we do some other cool things for them, like Citadel Nutrition, which is a very cool evidence-based supplement company, has been kind enough to co-sponsor athletes. And we're probably going to talk to Barbell One, who's recently helped out 3DMJ, who makes like custom foam rollers and really cool watches that look like weightlifting belts and kind of just lifting apparel. So we'll try to see if we can help out our sponsored athletes in that way as well.
We'll take a quick break, and we will be right back.
This bodybuilding and fitness podcast is brought to you by Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, the highest quality and most effective bodybuilding supplements and sports nutrition products on the market. Supreme. Clean. Mass Machine Nutrition. Check out the entire line at www.massmachinenutrition.com. Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition is also available at the world's number one online supplement store, bodybuilding.com.
We're back with Eric Helms. It's interesting, you know, in this world of marketing, you've set yourself apart. 3DMJ has set themselves apart. Usually in marketing, especially with all this noise going on, right? All the YouTube experts, all the websites that look awesome. You don't know that awesome website was built by a 12-year-old kid or someone with 10 years in the game, right? It all is kind of mixing in. You got to set yourself apart. One marketing strategy is that you have your specific group. That it's like your genius zone, your ideal person who you want to deal with. That you're clicking. It doesn't take a lot of mental flexibility to speak their language, because they just speak your language. They live your life. It's an avatar, so to speak, right? Tell me what your avatar is, 3DM, Jay's avatar is. What's that ideal avatar, that personality type that you're looking for? And you kind of explained it, but why don't you sum it up in maybe a few sentences?
No, that's great. And I'll backtrack a little bit, talk about marketing just for a second. You know, as a coach and as a coaching team, we have a strong mission statement, an idea of who we want to be and what kind of change we want to see in the world, because we believe that will attract the clients who have a similar belief.
I see.
So that avatar would be someone, I guess, who wants more, you know, who for whatever reason, you know, like you said, whatever perfect storm exists for them, they're drawn to the sport of bodybuilding or powerlifting, or they have a love for the iron that is true, deep, and genuine. But they want more than that. They want to see their life improve. They want to help other people, and they want to give back to the sport that that brought them to the iron, that gave them that that passion.
Tell me about their life wanting to improve. Tell me what that means to this particular group of people, because you know some people want to make $1 trillion. Some people want to have love, connection, family. There's so many things to shoot for in life, right? So what is more? What do your guys typically want more of?
A big part of our mission statement is community. You know, we really try to foster a community in what is normally seen as an individual sport, or even sometimes characterized as a selfish sport. Mm-hmm. I think more valuable than the changes I've seen in my body or the level of commitment I've developed and the self-belief from bodybuilding is the personal connections I've made with people and the different life paths that have been connected just through this odd sport of bodybuilding. So we want to help people find success in whatever what that means for them, so long as it also gives back to the collective. I think that's why we're Team 3DMJ. That's why there's four of us. That's why we always talk about community. We want to see people who, end of the day, they can look down and go, you know, I think I'm making the world a better place in whatever capacity makes sense for them, whether they're a nurse, a doctor, just a writer or a researcher or, you know, whatever they do in their personal life, a father, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever success means to them, as long as it's giving back to their roots and what brought them this level of self-actualization, which often comes through bodybuilding initially for us types. I think that's what the avatar would be.
Awesome. And it is a journey. I mean, just, you know, a 6-month period of time to prepare for a contest, you know, may be imbalanced, but everything that you learn and then the adjustments that you make and what that makes you appreciate when you got this, you didn't get this. You know, the journey is, like you said, a year and a half. It all balances out. You can't look at journey on a day-to-day, week-to-week, or even month. Sometimes it's in years, and that's one of the things that I shared is my journey is still, you know, neutralizing, but it gives me the opportunity to have a young buck like you come on my podcast because of the imbalance that I showed and the level of mastery that I showed and all those type of things. So now as I go into the other areas, it all balances out. And again, that's part of a dream. I'm curious, though, how many people come to you in pain? It's obvious pain, even if it's not. You deal with so many people. You have a perspective that they don't necessarily have because it's them in their own heads, right? You've dealt with so many people over these 5 years. I'm just curious because, and the reason why I'm asking this is everybody's looking for, well, why does this training strategy work for him? He doesn't even know what he's doing, and he succeeds. I want to believe it's so much more, right? And by these questions, you know, we're giving clues about success. You know, those old saying, success leaves clues. You know, I want to piece together this mindset for people, right, and how they can turn their pain into power. Again, this whole balance thing. If a person, how can I do that? Yeah, I get striated glutes, but how can I be balanced? I mean, hopefully what we talked about, a balance and the journey, right, makes them see that a little differently, right? So how many do, they're in their own heads, they may not see it, some may see it, but how many people are in pain when they come to you as a coach and you're using their journey as a way to turn that pain into power, would you say? Give me a percentage if you could.
I'd say maybe 20-30%.
Okay.
I think it's pretty common among bodybuilders.
You don't think that's a requirement for, again, now take yourself out of your group. I mean, you got people who pony up. They're committed to their coaching sessions. They're put some skin in the game. They're paying you for your expertise so they see the value, right? Yep. They've already sectioned themselves out to be a certain elite type of group, right? That isn't the majority of who want to get in shape and want to learn more about fitness. So go back to the guy who does have the wife and the kids. He doesn't want to do a contest, right? He doesn't understand a lot of things they're talking about. He doesn't know how he can incorporate this to be in balance. And he would say, you know, how can I do that and be balanced? I mean, what would you say to him about that? What makes people different in your mind?
So to clarify your question is what about some people who recognize the need for balance is different than others, or can you clarify?
Well, how can what if they, and again, you know, they can't figure it out, right? I mean, that's the rite of passage towards having an interest to become a master like you, right? Is going through that angst of not figuring out. Some people can't make it over that hump, right? And they go, well, I don't want to be like him. You know, he thinks that's not balance. You know, how can you integrate the two? Because the people who are coming to you, they're all in a select group and they can be treated this way. How can you benefit? You know, I got a lot of guys who just is looking for this one little strategy here and there. And I want to talk about specific strategies, get you, I know you're a real master and an expert, and you've done a lot of research about specific things, but just general, you know, type of topics that could kind of apply to the regular guy just trying to get in shape, and he's processing all this information, right?
Right.
But how can he benefit from watching the journey of your guys over the internet. Well, how can he benefit? He doesn't want to be as he calls it. You call it balance. I am sure, again, this is just my opinion, what you call balance, the vast majority of people who buy supplements, who get on fitness sites, who are in the gym, they see your balance as extreme. Would you say that's a legitimate argument?
100%. Okay. I think most people who are in the gym and buy Flex magazine or are interested in...
Do people buy magazines anymore?
That's a good question. Right, right? Right. They download them on their phone.
No, I get it. But that's something I would say because I'm a lot older than you, you know. Buy a magazine,
well,
right?
At 31, I'm definitely not completely of the internet age. I was kind of
right. I got gotcha.
I came up reading magazines. So
right, I got gotcha.
We'll be old together. So you know,
I got a good head start on you here.
that's true. That's fair enough. So I would say, for the guys who are most people just interested in fitness and lifting weights and who want to be bigger, are not interested and getting on stage shredded and having their physique judged by a panel of seven guys and trying to go to the next level and get their pro card and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is unbalanced from the perspective of someone who is just want to lift weights and improve their life and maybe look better in a t-shirt. And like you said, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Someone who looks in on bodybuilding is like, whoa, that's crazy. That's a niche within a niche, and I think I can understand that. I try to ground myself on the fact that I haven't always been a bodybuilder. There was when I was 20 or 21 before I started competing, and it was just lifting weights. That did seem out there to me.
Right.
And but in the end, people who want to bodybuild are going to bodybuild. You know, it's not something that you can that you're going to dismiss because it's not the social norm, or you would have. You know, so.
I guess where I'm kind of going back to this avatar, I mean, how can they benefit? Because that is the vast majority, right? How can they benefit from everything that you're doing? Or are they not in your avatar and say, hey, there's other guys to do that. Go to YouTube, right?
Yeah, I would say, you know, first I will say that it's difficult to get outside of my own perspective. I've been a competitive bodybuilder for the last 10 years now, or... In that mindset, I guess you could say, training for bodybuilding. I've only been competing since 2007. But so I would say it's probably not 100% in my avatar, and it's not where I specialize. It's probably not where I can lend the most help to people. But I was a personal trainer for years. I definitely dealt with general population. And I would say at the very least, someone can take inspiration from – if someone can do what competitive bodybuilding asks of you and still find happiness and balance, that definitely means there's certainly hope for any pursuit that someone has, whether that's balancing, working out, and maintaining a healthy body when they've got four kids and a 9-to-5 job, or whether that's, you know, living a higher quality of life into someone's 60s or 70s, or whether that's just being an example to someone's family that they think health and fitness are things that we should pursue in this age where it's so easy to become unhealthy. I think at least there should be some inspiration that can be taken from it.
Awesome.
If not direct application.
Awesome. I like that. So natural bodybuilding, tell me about that. That's what you're part of, the avatar. That's what you specialize. That's what, you know, you have a history. Tell me about where that passion comes from, and you know, how does that, the lightning rod, you guys, you know, I don't know, do you hear this much? Because back, is it 20 years when I first stepped on a natural bodybuilding stage with striated glutes, it was like, oh, there's the telltale sign, right? You know, where now you look at you guys, you know, I mean, the top three have striated glutes, right? It isn't that big hurdle anymore like it was before. I want to think that maybe I had something to do with that, but
you definitely did, Skip, for sure.
Well, so but this whole natural bodybuilding thing, right? It's such a lightning rod, you know. It could be divisive. Tell me your thoughts about natural bodybuilding and all that. I mean, you get what I'm saying, right?
Well,
it's a big part of what you do. It's a big part of your mission, even though it's taken us 38 minutes to really talk about it, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it just goes to show you how much extremes there are in the sport of bodybuilding. When the idea that someone just simply wants to lift weights and compete in bodybuilding and not take drugs is controversial. You know, the idea that I don't want to take illegal steroids or illegal other drugs, or that I want to just lift weights and eat and take supplements, you know, do things that seem relatively normal, is controversial.
What do you mean by controversial? What does that mean to you?
Well, like you said, when someone shows up on stage with striated glutes, and one of the immediate reactions from some people is, oh, they've got to be on drugs.
Is that still true? Is that still prevalent? Especially when there's five guys on stage that way.
No, I would say that the goalposts change.
Okay.
Now it's you can't be a certain, you know, you can't have a fullness to your look while you're
okay,
shredded.
Okay, I gotcha.
Or you can't have, you know, big delts, or you know, there's all these kind of visual telltale signs that are rooted only in hearsay that I would say people like to point to. Those are always going to be there.
Well, how do you deal with that, especially your athletes, your bodybuilders? I guess that's another question. Is a bodybuilder an athlete? We'll talk about that later, maybe.
Yeah.
But
they're a physique competitor.
Okay. So your guy, I don't know, right? I mean, I've been barraged with that for 25 years, right? I'm numb to it now, right? Okay. But I want to know your experience. Do you guys, all your guys get jammed with that stuff all the time? I mean, what's your experience? Maybe you do, but you're just so committed into what you're doing, it just runs off you like a duck's back. I'm always curious how people deal with that adversity. Or that controversy,
you know,
or that doubt.
It definitely bothers me.
What's that?
Because I think...
You said it does bother you or it doesn't bother you?
Does.
Okay,
definitely
gotcha.
Bothers me.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And it bothers me because I see the big picture side of it. Like, I worry that if there is this belief that natural bodybuilding as a whole is just complete nonsense and that everyone is actually on drugs, and I know there's a very, very select few who have that extreme of an opinion, then what message does that say to an upcoming 18-year-old? I think it's very cool that bodybuilding and even powerlifting with the IPF, unlike other sports, there is a clear path to either make the choice of, you know, I want to use performance-enhancing drugs or not. You know, if you get into cycling, you've got potentially team, country, and performance pressures. Where at some point you have to make a choice, do I want to use performance-enhancing drugs? And I don't necessarily agree with those who have made the decision to do that, but I can understand why they might make that choice based on those pressures. But in bodybuilding, you know, you can legitimately look at the stage and go, wow, you know, Mr. Olympia is literally 100 pounds heavier at the same body weight than Mr. Natural Olympia. I think that that's probably something different's going on there. That is a clear path. I have a way to compete, and I don't have to make the choice to use things that maybe I'm not comfortable taking. So I like that there is two clear paths. You can decide to use enhancements, and you know, I don't judge the folks who want to go that route. It's their life, it's their choice, and when it really comes down to it, I have a whole lot more in common with a bodybuilder on a whole bunch of anabolics than I do with someone who doesn't even compete. You know, if the difference is just what you put in your body, the journey, I think, in many ways is the same. So I have a lot of respect for the guys on that side of the sport. You know, it's a level playing field on their stage, and I think so long as there's a belief that there's a level playing field on our stage and the natural side of it, natural bodybuilding will continue to flourish. And so my fear or my negative reaction to those comments about natural bodybuilding is more that they'll become the stigma that natural bodybuilding isn't actually natural. And then that choice will seem to erode. And then it won't be these two clear paths you can take of, I want to not take drugs or I want to take drugs. It'll feel like, oh, I either have to take a lot of drugs or I have to lie about it and take some drugs, which I think it isn't true at all. You know, I do believe that natural bodybuilding, for the most part, is populated by people who just are want to take that path of their lives. But I always have this slight fear when the witch hunt goes on, or the kind of the vitriol and the hate towards certain bodybuilders because they're just not believed to be natural, or the sport as a whole, that it says something about the future of the sport, and that just worries me because it's something that's made me happy, that's brought me so much success and joy and self actualization, I'd say, that I want it to be a viable pathway and option for others.
So you talk about this acceptance. I mean, and it's all perspective. But you take, I don't know, just think of a top natural bodybuilder right now. Think of somebody. Give me a name right now.
Doug Miller.
Okay, Doug Miller. So what would you say if you had to guesstimate his approval rating that he is indeed drug-free? Put a number on that, you know, 50-50, 80-20. I mean, I'm just curious. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just curious the way that you see it.
Well, I would probably say it's pretty high. I'd probably say maybe it's not 80-20. And I think it's because, for the most part, the people aware of natural bodybuilders are natural bodybuilders and natural bodybuilding fans, you know? I've talked to high-level IFBB pros just in casual conversation, and they go, well, what's the WNBF? Or, you know, maybe they've heard of, like, the Team Universe, because that's, you know, in, at least the amateur affiliate of where they compete. Or there's some countries where there is no natural bodybuilder, you know? I had a guy from Israel contact me who just thought it was all just completely fake. Like, oh, you're just saying it's natural so that you don't get in trouble with the police or whatever.
Right.
Because there's no natural bodybuilding in his country. You know, and he was under the impression that you can't even have a fitness model physique unless you're on anabolics type of thing. So I think the perspective varies so much. So I would say, you know, those aware of Doug Miller are probably aware of the IFPA. Probably know him on Facebook, and yeah, some of them are going to get crossover from just general bodybuilding fans. But for the most part, when you, like, if you go to a show, and you know that most of these people are not famous, they're not making any money, they're not really gaining any recognition besides some of those personal benefits we talked about from competing in natural bodybuilding, and people think Doug Miller's an outlier. But there's some freaks when you go to the IFPB Jordan Cup, when you go to the Team Universe, when you go to these top level natural shows, when you see, you know, literally tens and tens and tens of physiques who would probably be questioned of being on drugs just by the average person who doesn't know about natural bodybuilding, and you know that it's probably a small minority that are cheating, you know, then you have to realize that the body's capable of some pretty cool stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think there's a lot of different factors that come in. Now, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm not saying that I disagree with you, but, you know, one thing is that I see, and I think that the listener should take out of this. I mean, you are completely focused. You have a certain mindset, and that you're blocking out all any distractions. If you were to listen to this podcast again, how you qualified your answer. Well, the people who are really into natural body, I mean, we already talked about what a small percentage who would do that, right? And the people who compete, and then the people who know the IFPA, right? You just cut down to, you know, 1% of all the people who train and whatever. See, but that's what makes you great. That's your avatar. That's what you're – you don't care about the 99%. You only look at the 1%. Or, you know, that, I'm not – I don't know how accurate that is, right? I know that natural bodybuilders want to think that, you know, we're like – the majority or something like that, but it's really a niche within a niche within a niche, right? I mean, I remember back in the day, Steve Blackman of Muscular Development, if he was really into natural bodybuilding. I don't know if you even know about this, but like in 1996, Muscular Development went from, you know, featuring steroid bodybuilders to 2 years. It was all natural Muscular Development. Are you sure about it? Did you know about that, Eric?
I did know about
it. Okay,
that.
Yeah.
It was before my time, but I knew that was the case from talking like Jeff and other guys.
Yeah, and so, you know, Steve Blackman, who I just think is just crazy, passionate, and awesome businessman. I mean, the thing is, he kind of, you know, I kind of hear this little, bad rap on him about being unfair. The thing about it is, he is a professional, and if you are a professional, you will thrive with him. It's just that most people in this whole body, they're not professionals and they don't know about it. They just show up with their physique. That's not going to work with a professional businessman like Steve Blackman, right? So you see Sean Ray. Sean Ray flourishes with Muscular Development. He's not worried about getting chopped off the chalk block. Bob Chicarillo, same thing. Ron Harris, the same thing. I like to say that was my situation with him, you know? So, but so here's a business point of view who has to take in the business perspective or it's going to cost him money. He said, Skip, man, you know, love natural bodybuilding, but bodybuilding is a small niche. And natural bodybuilding is even a small niche within that small niche. And one thing that we experienced when he did that is that, you know, all the natural bodybuilders got all over him for the people that he was promoting. So the niche got even smaller. I can see that you're not looking at things that way. That keeps you focused on the matter at hand, and maybe that's a good life lesson. You can't worry about it. You just worry about your 100%, even if your 100% is only 1%, right? Does that make sense, right?
No, definitely. And you know, I can...
But
I best operate from where my life experience is.
Right.
And
that's probably, and again, that's a reason to be successful, because you... See, I'm opening it up because my experience takes into account a lot of things that you're not looking at. So that's why I ask those questions. And that's why I'm challenging your beliefs, the way you explain it, because I just see where you're focused, right? And I know the people who are listening, my crowd, they're not coming from the place that you're, what are you talking about, right? You know,
right.
80-20, Doug Miller, you're crazy, right? They would be saying that to you right now. Right? You think 80% believe that he's drug-free, right? Here's the thing about it. And, you know, why do they – because his physique is amazing. Would you say that he stands out a significant distance above the rest these days? Would you say that?
Yeah, he's the Orton Cup champion.
I know, but in second place, how big of a gap is that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
You know – I would say that right now I don't think there's any natural bodybuilder that I'm aware of that can beat Doug Miller.
I agree with that. I agree with you. You know, hell, back when I was getting all my stuff, I'd get beat. I didn't. He's awesome. He's head and shoulders right above the rest. Now I've done a little talking, and again, that's why he's going to be on a podcast. You can hear how he describes his world, how his perfect storm set up. People who listen to my podcast, they see how my perfect storm set up so that they can make their own decisions. That, again, there's more to this than sets and reps, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and but I'm curious, is that one thing that I see developed is that, you know, in the natural bodybuilding world, again, it cannibalizes itself, right? Do you agree with that, right? And so when you have Muscle Mania, they're not drug-free, NPC. I mean, for natural bodybuilders, NPC is synonymous with drug users, right? The terms are interchangeable, right? He's an NPC bodybuilder, right? So, you know, back for years, you throw out those guys. I could just tell you, I've talked to them. They're just as passionate as you. They're just as passionate as me. They're just as passionate as Doug Miller, right? I think there's other choices why they compete in those organizations, because it's so international. You talked about there's IFBB pros that hang out on message boards. They have no idea the organizations that you're talking about. What does that say? But you don't see that because this is your world. This is your life, right? I think there's some people who see an avenue to, if they're going to do all this work, they're going to get more bang for their buck. But again, it gets cannibalized with the natural bodybuilding world, right? I think the cool thing about Doug Miller is that because he grew up in the organizations where many of your stars casted stones at Muscle Mania, many of your stars and representatives casted stones at Team Universe, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is one of your own who can beat all those guys at Team Universe and Muscle Mania. He can beat them, right? He's awesome. I've never seen him in person, but the pictures, he's great, right? How can you now say that he's a phony, right? And it comes down to what? Because you know his personality, because you've heard people talk about him. You have other people in your organization stand up for his credibility. You watched him grow up on YouTube and develop. You see how much weight he does, right? I mean, those are all great factors to contribute to the belief that he's drug-free. And I think those are valid. But the bottom line is, it's kind of sad for an organization, natural bodybuilding, that you don't judge the physique, right? You're judging by all these external factors, right? What if some guy goes in a cave and he's not on YouTube? Then he's not going to be believable? I think you're right. I think a lot of people will defend Doug Miller and believe in him because they got to know him as a person. That's an awesome thing of the internet, right? But but the thing is that many people in the organizations, again, many of these smaller organizations, they're stars. They're stars. Cast every fake natty, right? And then when people, you know, they called, oh, no, well, my organization's this, this, and this. Well, every single one of those stars of those organizations who have cast so many, their hero, their champion, their awesome example of natural bodybuilding is better than all those people that they've been criticizing, right? You know what I'm saying? How do we make sense of all this? Do they go back and apologize to all those people they criticized in WrestleMania and Team Universe now that their homegrown guy is even better than them? Because if that wasn't achievable, how is he achievable? You know what I'm saying?
No, I 100% agree. And I think, like, this was great. I think, if you don't mind, I'll share this with the audience. But Skip first contacted me after I made the natural bodybuilding controversy video. And basically said, hey, you don't know what you're talking about with regards to the Team Universe and the WrestleMania. Like, you know, back when I did it, they would I guess, polygraph test top two. Is that right?
Which one? The WrestleMania was a polygraph going in. And again, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to, you know, whatever testing there is, there's a ways, right? Let's just...
Right.
Someone could cheat. Let's just do the rebuttal to that before we even get it, right? But just to let that what it was... WrestleMania, I don't know what it is now, but at that time, everybody had a polygraph. You know what I mean? When you've dieted for a contest and everything, you're sitting in front of that polygraph. Oh, what if it's wrong, right? That's not a, that's not just a calm thing that you do. It's calm once you do it, of course, right? But while you're doing it, your mind goes to what could happen, right? And then Team Universe was the same way. And the top two got urine tested, right?
Urine tested.
Again, regardless of what you think about testing or whatever, there was a protocol at least.
So I guess, so it was that conversation between you and I really made me think, like, you have to be careful when you're saying things. Like, I will stand by my belief and my expression that, you know, for that clear choice, like I was talking about earlier, to walk down, you know, the path of either I want to enhance and be an enhanced bodybuilder, or I want to be natural. For that to continue to exist, there needs to be a commitment on the side of the organizations to make sure that the level playing field is as level as possible.
Sure.
And to stand up and say, hey, we're not just quote unquote natural. We really do want our athletes to be natural, because I think just knowing that the organization is serious, it changes who shows up for the show. You know, there was a show, and I'm not going to say which organization it was, that normally does not polygraph test locally in California, that myself and Brad Loomis and Jeff and Alberto have all competed in. In 1 year, they decided to do polygraph testing, and literally three guys who were in the athletes meeting didn't come back. So it sent a message. They're like, oh, I don't want to mess with that, you know? So that, to me, is one of those experiences in my life where I realized, you know what, the organizations really have to stand up and say, this is what we're about. The organizations have to have a clear attitude.
Sure, sure.
Because that changes who comes to the shows, that changes, you know, the legitimacy of it. So if someone has an issue with WrestleMania or Team Universe or any organization, I think they need to be careful about whether they're talking about the organization or the people competing in it. Because like you said, of course there's natural bodybuilders in Team Universe and WrestleMania. They want to compete there because they think they can do well. They want the exposure. Or it's, you know, it's what's locally available in their area. There's some parts of the country where you can't do a WNBF show, you know? And to throw stones at them because an organization doesn't necessarily, you know, take the same steps as another one is, I think, really misguided.
Yeah, so, and I think that, you know, it wasn't really so much about that. I mean, that was one point up I brought with you about that. The point was is, and again, this is where I think science sometimes can hurt. I'm going to have you back on, Eric, because we've been talking about an hour. I think we can go about three more hours. I'm going to have to bring you back, right? But, you know, the thing about it is when science creates limitations, what this podcast is all about, what I'm all about, I made a career about the mindset. You know, again, that perfect storm that is inexplicable, that creates a champion. If you get some of that, if you can tap into that, you can achieve amazing things. Sometimes science, I believe, limits people, right? And you put specific numbers on what a person at some height can do based on whatever, right? You talk about natural bodybuilding becoming more and more popular. Personally, I've been around for 25 years. I've heard people like you come in and out for 25 years, all saying the same thing. It isn't more popular in my mind, because I really believe, this is my belief, is that it's the crab syndrome, where you get put the crabs, you don't even need to put a lid on it. And when one starts climbing, they'll all kind of bring it down. Do you know? It takes outliers in not just genetics, but also, you know, that mindset, that belief, and all those things, you know, like a Doug Miller and some of these other awesome champions that, you know, kind of can elevate it, but they all get kind of cast aside and things like that. And I really think that is limiting. I mean, but what does growth mean? You know, there's IFBB pros that all they do is hang around message boards. They know everybody, and they don't know your organization. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I hang around. It's my business. I've got a supplement company. It's my business. That's why I know you. I'm in tune. I'm not some dinosaur, right? I want to know. And like I said, I'm going to have you back, because there's all the specific information, training, nutrition that I want to learn from you too. And all those organizations, because they're small and cannibalizing themselves. I know that Jim Evans, you know, wants to somehow unify all natural bodybuilding so it can be a bigger unit itself. What do you think about that?
I think there's a, I'll go ahead and challenge your beliefs just a little bit, that natural bodybuilding isn't growing. I think the way it was previously was very limiting for growth. But I would say there's some interesting things happening with the internet, with the availability of information. As much as I hate some aspects of YouTube, the fact that there's more avenues for exposure.
Yes. You know, I'm going to just concede that to you. You know, you're right in that aspect, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And it does some other interesting things, because it's very hard for the powers that be to ignore the will of the community they're serving. So, for example, WNBF used to be, and maybe will be again, kind of the leading organization in natural bodybuilding. And they had a very, very tough fall from grace a few years back, after they were very limiting in the way they treated their athletes. Like, Dave Gooden appeared in Ironman magazine, and he got his WNBF pro card taken away. I think this was 4 or 5 years ago. And he said, well, screw it, I'm going to go start competing in the NPC. And he actually got an NPC show to sanction a 5-year polygraph-tested show in Texas. And
right.
Became even more successful once he left the NPC. Then the NANBF, an amateur affiliate of the WNBF, left them and went to the IFPA. And the IFPA starts growing. And next thing you know, the WNBF has maybe only shows on the Eastern Seaboard and in the middle of the country, and is falling off everywhere else. Promoters are leaving left and right, and they were rigidly holding on to this idea that, you know, if you compete with the WNBF, you can't compete in any other organization. You only compete in our show as a pro. And other organizations just kept growing and kept growing, and pros were leaving left and right, and previous WNBF champions now became IFPA champions. And then their magazine fell apart. They lost Natural Bodybuilding and Fitness magazine, which was a big driver of their income. And now the WNBF has just been sold. And the WNBF was sold to Bob Bell and Tina Smith and a few other, like I think it's almost 5 people who own it, who were previously IFPA promoters. And now they've opened it up. So WNBF pros can compete in other organizations. IFPA pros can compete with the WNBF. So while I don't know if we're closer to having one unified natural bodybuilding organization, there's nothing to prevent now, you know, Brian Whitaker from being on the same stage as Doug Miller, or your Martin Daniels from going against a heavyweight in the IFPA. So
So people who don't know a lot of the details, how many natural bodybuilding organizations are there, would you say?
Like 15, maybe?
Okay, 15 different organizations, right? How many have been around for more than 5 years out of the 15?
Maybe 6.
6 out of the 15. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe.
See, I guess I just have a different definition of growing. Right. To me, that's not growth. Right. That's cannibalizing itself. That's the crabs. And they are, come on. You and I know that you talked about an alliance between a couple organizations, but it isn't that way. You know, they you can't cross over to everybody. You're not going to see all the best people on the stars, and it forces the bodybuilder to pick a path. You know, and And if he picks the path of the NPC or Muscle Mania, where he can be in that same shape, on that same show, he's internationally known. The reason why you know me is because I did the Muscle Mania. It was all over the world for years, right? Okay? And then on television, right? Right? Then I was the TV show to promote it. They just did a 25-year poster where I'm on this poster with some, you know, great, you know, they're worldwide, you know? Okay? Again. This has nothing to do with, I know they're not really drug free or whatever they is. It's just about, you know, the promotion. I can, again, your champions or these champions can beat their champions, right? So whatever you want to say about their organization, let's focus on the quality of the athletes, if they're athletes, the bodybuilders, right? They're just, their champions are just as good as their champions. Those champions are no better than, would you agree with that? Can we?
Oh, I would agree that at the cream of the crop at any organization, they tend to be amazing either way.
And they know? Can, they, for sure. It isn't like this champion is so much better than that champion. Would you agree with that?
Currently, with Doug Miller around, I would say, yeah, they're definitely not better than the IFPA. There has been times.
And that's why I liked what Doug Miller's moving, because he, all those dogmas, all that, whatever you want to say, he just busted it all up. So whatever your argument, it's no longer valid, right? I love what he's doing. He could probably do better to unify all these organizations because, but the challenge is that, you know, he could, you know, I mean, Moody is awesome. And it's like, I would love to see those two on stage. I have an opinion of who would win, but again, I'm just looking at pictures, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And then, the guy who's really cleaning up, who's just an amazing inspiration, but has the same controversy, is, you know, Ulysses, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ulysses Grant.
Now, let's do, okay, scale from 1 to 10 popularity worldwide, getting the most bang. He's no better shape, okay? Some would argue that Moody and Doug Miller can beat him. A lot of people would argue that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Doug Miller would probably take the... take that ticket if you put
out, out of
on
those
the
three
stage.
Right okay
yeah
out of those three and I could see that too, right? But you got one who's like who's known all over the world, right? And that's because of the organization that he picked. But he's not a better bodybuilder, he's not a better natural bodybuilder, right? I think the frustration and all the crab type arguing is blowing everything up, right? You're I don't know. You get what I'm saying.
I would say, yeah, it definitely brings down the sport.
But the thing about it is that, you know, the popularity of Ulysses, I interviewed him. I'll tell you this. I got a YouTube channel. I mean, his video is seen like I don't know what my channel is, how many views. I don't really worry about that as part of my business model. But whatever the amount of views is on my channel with all the videos, I 400 videos, I think Ulysses... he's more video. His one video is watched more than all of my other videos, right? Which is a testament to him, his marketing, and the direction that he took. I want that for everybody. Do you know what I mean? And so that's what I'm saying. And that's other thing, the power of the internet. You know, you say, yeah, natural bodybuilding is growing. I conceded that fact to you because it. But there's champions who are more popular than your champions because of the same thing, social media. You know, I think of Chris Jones.
That's fair enough.
You know, Chris Jones, he's doing his thing. So I just think that everybody can benefit. What do you think about this? So you said there's 15 you don't even know, about 15.
Probably more, sure. Okay. 15 in the States, why not?
Okay,
we'll
and only six of them have been around for 5 years, right? You tell me this, right? I'm Denny Kankos. I've been busting my ass for natural bodybuilding, I don't know, for 30 years, right? Okay. I've with my blood, sweat, and tears, traveling around the country, packing up my family for this and that. Why do I want to split my pie that I've spent 30 years? Why do I want to split that with a guy who's just started an organization 2 years from now? He's at it to share the pie. Do you know what I mean? What would be my motivation to do that? And I think that if they can kind of figure that out. Now, again, I haven't talked to any of these promoters or whatever like that, but I would have a challenge doing that, being on an equal playing field for the new Jack. He should come work for me. right? You want natural bodybuilding to work? Bring all your guys. I'll give you a little commission. You get all your guys in your organization to come to my show. You know, I'll pay you to be a expediter or whatever, right? But I'm the game. I'm the OG here, right? you want to unify it? Bow down to the master and come to me if you really are in this for unification. Would he have an argument there?
I think bow down to the master and unification probably wouldn't.
I'm just joking around there. Yeah, I'm getting a little facetious here, a little joking around. But you understand what I'm saying, right? There's a business aspect to this unification process too.
Yep.
I don't think bodybuilders even look at that from that perspective. Would you agree with that?
I think a lot of bodybuilders just want to compete. Yeah. They don't even necessarily want to be as popular as Ulysses. And a lot of times when they get that popular, they don't know what to do with it.
That's a great point. It's that perfect storm, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get out of this. That guy who does want, he'll train harder. He'll die. He'll do things that you have no idea. And it's not, he takes drugs illegally. He'll train hard. He'll die. He'll do it longer. Because, again, you know, one thing that, you know, people see like actors on TV, even like reality stars who wouldn't be actors, right? And they're just massively popular and they're making all this money. You can be the situation. I think that, I don't know, he made like $10 million in a year, right?
Mm.
And then you think, well, you know, he's not talented. You know, how does he do this? Because it's like you said, he's got this desire to be popular, to be famous. That's not his first trip to the rodeo applying for, you know, Jersey Shore or whatever. Every single actor is an actress. Again, there's this whole mindset thing that comes into it that I think, and again, getting back to where we kind of circled around, that isn't in your calculations of the body index mass of a natural bodybuilder, right? That one thing you just said, who, for whatever reasons, he wants to be popular, what he will do legally, naturally, to become the best and how long he would do it, it sets people apart and it's not factored into this index. You know, you talk about natural bodybuilding getting more and more popular. All right, let's just say that is true. That means more people will be more rewarded and be more driven, right? So they're going to blow away, right? If everything goes right, they'll blow away. There'll be a whole stage full of Doug Millers here, you know, in a few years, right? If everything goes your way, right? With that being said, again, this whole crap thing of what can be accomplished and using factors of past shows when natural bodybuilding wasn't as popular, to quote you, you're using those body index masses and, you know, this science to come up with and telling these guys what they can and can't do. You see what I mean? That was the biggest point when I got to you, is there's other things involved in this. I'm going to throw one more thing in. I'm going to get off my soapbox here. But, you know, John Madden, I see that you're from the Bay Area. Do you grow up in Sacramento or?
I grew up in Oakland, and I went to high school in the Sacramento suburbs.
Okay, where was that?
So I went to high school in Folsom, and okay. Until I was 13 or 14, I lived in Oakland, both on the border of Berkeley and then also more like just below the Oakland Hills. My parents were split up.
Yeah, okay. So. Oh, split up. What age
like
was
when
that?
When I was like three.
They split up when
I don't remember them being together.
See, we're getting more into this perfect storm, right? Why he's a master at what he does. He's so crazy passionate about protein synthesis, right? Okay, but anyway.
It's because of my father. Yes.
Yeah, well, there's all these factors that go in. But anyway, I was talking about, you know, I'm from Walnut Creek. I don't know if you know that. And I went to Jesuit High School in Sacramento.
Awesome.
And anyway, so the Oakland Raiders, legendary coach John Madden, right? I heard him on an interview and they said, someone said, oh, well, you know, NFL is a multi-billion-dollar sport and you get the best athletes and you have all the best care. He goes, I bet you have the best chiropractors, you have the best knee surgeons and equipment and this and that. And he goes, and the best psychologist, right, to help these guys out. And John Madden goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And they go, we don't mess with their heads. You know, we don't mess with their heads because you never know what makes them so great. You know, what that drive is. We're going to leave that intact just the way that it is. So, you know, it gives you some insight that why they don't really want to do anything about these guys with these criminal backgrounds, that these savages that go out and beat. Why do you want to make him a law-abiding, balanced citizen, right? You leave his head the way it is if he produces on the field. I thought that was really telling and probably would give a lot of people insight on why they're not really doing too much about all these criminals on the field, right? Makes a better product, right?
At least they think it does.
What's that?
Yeah. At least they think it does. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the theory, right? Well, you don't want them all zen, right? Hey, they're all their aggression, you know? All of my dad left and I lived in poverty and my mom had to work 10 jobs, but hey, thanks. I'm all zen, right? The guy gets cut. You know, who knows? They don't want to tinker with their brain. But what you just said, though, it kind of ties in is who has this drive to become a force, you know, to be known all around the world for what they do. You know, that's going to really determine what they get out of themselves as a natural bodybuilder beyond genetics, right? And beyond protein synthesis or training strategies, right?
Oh, yeah. I would say that maybe one of the reasons why I've been so interested in the science behind it,
right,
and all this stuff is because that has been the way that I've been able to succeed. It wasn't like I just picked up a weight and I was huge.
Right.
You know? While I've seen a lot of other people who they have the drive and they go to the weight room and they get some incredible results. And when those two things, like you said, the perfect storm coincides, I think that's the making of a champion. You have someone who has that will not say die attitude, that incredible focus, that drive that you might see in like a Doug Miller. And then also the genetics that you see from Doug Miller. And that's something that, I mean, that is 95, if not more, percent of the equation of what makes him a champion. It's not, oh, he should have been training, you know, a little more frequently, or why didn't he have slightly less protein and slightly more carbohydrate? Those things make small differences. And yeah, I want to maximize them as a coach, but when it really comes down to it, it's what's inside both your genetic code and what's up here and in your heart. And I pointed at my head for those who can't see me. you know, what's in your mindset and what's in your passion, that's going to dictate who is the best. I mean, and it really comes down to belief.
Yes.
Like the records at the Olympics are always falling, getting knocked off. And someone might argue it's all drugs, but they were falling in the 1800s and the early 1900s too. It hasn't, like, there wasn't a change in the curve. You know, people have been, as soon as someone achieves something, that becomes... the belief is that that's possible,
right,
and someone will strive to get past it.
Right.
So yeah, I would say there is a weakness to using an anthropometric equation based off previous champions, because invariably, just by what we know from there being billions of people on the planet, especially if the sport gets more popular, that someone might be bigger than that. However, I would also say that bodybuilding isn't necessarily about the biggest physique; it's about the best physique.
Exactly.
And there are some guys who had a very low fat free mass index who were Mr. America in the early 40s, you know,
right,
who beat guys who were bigger, you know, a fat free mass index of 28, you know. Well, they might only had a fat free mass index of 25. So I'm not totally uncomfortable with the idea of looking at who are the biggest champions who've ever existed as kind of a, at least for setting goals for young guys to say, here's what might be within the realm of possibility. But I also don't think, you know, guys from the 30s or natural bodybuilders from the 90s who got, you know, measured are the absolute limit of what humans can ever accomplish. That would be like saying, you know, the guy who ran the 100 meters in 10.5 seconds in the 40s or something like that's the fastest you can run the 100 meters.
Right,
we know that's not true.
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, just from your mindset, just talking to you, spending this time with you, that, which I really appreciate, you know, I see that, you know, that again, you know, opening it up, when you talk with your avatar, your group, your tribe, we sometimes tend to think that everybody thinks that way and gets your meaning, right? Opening up to what I've seen over my years, what I see, all right? Not your tribe, your group, right? The people who are searching the internet and they come up to the, you know, 3D MJ website or Eric Helms, your website, and they're just starting on this journey, right? We've talked about reasons why they even get into this. Control, certainty. One thing that I see as the biggest challenge for people who are drawn into bodybuilding and training is control. And control means just give me the right training strategies, just give me the right eating strategy, make it black or white. I cannot work in any shades of gray. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
And so sometimes I think the science gives them this black and white that they're looking for, and they don't understand that, look, two things. Number one is just say you have the optimal strategy, right?
Doesn't exist, but we'll say
well, so. Yeah, let's just say that it does, because some people, when they want to grab onto that blackness, right? Right?
They want
There's right or wrong, and they'll take, that's what I'm saying, you know, we as leaders in this industry, we have to have the perspective, the understanding that we might be misinterpreted, that they will take what we say as black and white, right or wrong. And I think there's a lot of irresponsible fitness professionals out there, and I think that they do believe it's black or white, right or wrong. My point is that even if there isn't that optimal strategy, two things. One, it doesn't mean that what you're doing, even if it's suboptimal, just say optimal is a 10, that doesn't mean what you're doing is zero. It isn't black or white. So you're only doing one, it's a 7. Your persistence, your perseverance, man, have fun. Do what you're doing. You'll climb to an 8 strategy, maybe you'll work up to that optimal, but don't throw up your hands because it's not black and white. And I think that we have to be responsible as leaders to understand there's people outside of our tribe who have made it this far as we have that throw up their hands because it's not black or white enough for them, and they see what we're saying is black or white. I'll tell you, get a training strategy. You don't have all that rocket fuel behind it. You're going to make that optimal strategy suboptimal. And that's why they can't understand why that animal who all he thinks about is training and eating and preparing his meals. Hey, look at my social media. Here's my meals for the next 28 days all lined up. This is what I did all weekend. You know, they don't understand how he could take a suboptimal strategy and look so amazing, right? And sometimes I think that's where the science makes people complacent. And they don't dig deep to put that rocket fuel that optimal strategy needs to make work. Hey, another thing, though, you know, you talk about your scientific facts, man. They didn't have social media or Instagram, you know, to always show your abs or whatever. It's another incentive to make somebody famous. That it all factors in. Well, information overload. Talk to me. Like I said, Eric, I'm going to have you back because we're going to be talking. As you can tell, we must be both kind of passionate. We probably lost half our audience and think, what are these guys talking about, right? Well, the good thing is we'll have that 2%. You know, hanging on every word that we're talking about, but
right. we'll have our tribe.
Right. Exactly. Tribe. Exactly. Yeah. Can't please everybody. Tell me about information over. Let's end with that.
That's a great topic to end on because that is something that I spend a lot of time trying to cut through because you're right. There are a lot of irresponsible fitness professionals who put out information in a black and white manner. And I don't even think it's malicious. It's because they come from that same mindset. They want there to be a black and white answer. They want there to be a wrong and a what right way to train. They want there to be bro science and optimal.
Right.
And that's just a completely false construct. It doesn't even exist. No one has ever trained optimally. And if you're training with a crazy amount of intensity, drive, consistency, and dedication with a terrible program, you're going to make much better gains than if you're training with semi-decent, consistent dedication on paper, what should be the best program ever. So nothing beats that human element which you're alluding to. Now, as far as information overload, I think what my mission as both a scientist and then a distributor of the research that I read and that I do is always to make it actionable and is to break it down in a way that is usable to people who don't have the same kind of odd obsessive drive I have with reading literature, because I don't think it's reasonable for everyone to have that. I just happen to be one who does.
Yeah, but there's your tribe of that 1% too. People can't read two lines on a social media post these days, right?
Exactly, right. You know, and you know, so that's it's quite a challenge to break down a 10,000 word article, you know, to someone in a paragraph or a 5-minute video. But I do the best I can.
Well, let me ask you that question because I've seen you and your group. I've been following you guys, and You guys like to break it down for hours and hours and hours, right? Do you try to break it down to these other people outside of your tribe, your avatar? I'm curious.
You know, I am best when I'm working from my own personal experience.
Yes.
and where I've been, but
I think everybody is, and that's a success strategy, guys. Everyone listening to this podcast, do with your personal experience, your story, your mission, speak from the heart rather than theory or mentally, I don't know. Again, it's better to talk from a passionate, hardcore perspective and only speak on that rather than things that you really don't know much about. It's just theories, right? That comes through, right?
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, I think if you, yeah, exactly. You know, speak from the area that you are an expert in. There's only so much expertise one can gain in a life.
And there's 7 billion people on the planet. So even if you have that 1%, all right, you're the college guy right here. So what's that 1% of 7 billion? So only if you got 1%, that's a lot of people, right?
Yeah, it's definitely less than 7 billion, but more than 7.
Right.
That's yeah.
Hey, I could have done that, right?
No,
but you could collectively, you can have a gigantic tribe, you know,
yes.
Being in your genius zone like that. So,
yeah. And like you said, information overload. A lot of the times, you know, because there's 4 personalities that make up 3DMJ, and we will often get clients who we think may be more suited to one of the 4 of us. And a lot of the times we'll push the more analytical guys towards me, but uh-huh. They get the exact opposite of what they think.
Right.
They don't get the optimal strategy. They get me telling them, hey, quit splitting hairs that don't matter.
Yeah.
Let's put all that energy into something more useful. You know, let's stop burning out all your willpower. Why are you sitting here worrying about, you know, things that don't matter when we can put that energy into something useful? You have an incredible passion and drive to focus on these minute details. Why don't we put that something productive? So
that's powerful.
So I do the exact opposite sometimes of what the people who are similar to me think they need, because I know that's what I didn't need. You know, that's what got me in trouble.
And that's probably so effective, because if they hear someone of their same ilk, the same thinking pattern, tells them to, you know, put that away a little bit, it's even more powerful, right?
Yes, exactly. Because if they hear it from Jeff, they can just say, oh, well, you know, what do you know?
Exactly.
You're built on experience primarily, not, you haven't read 1,000 articles. But if I tell them, look, I've read 1,000 articles and I can sum it up to you in a 30-minute conversation, and most of it doesn't matter, you know, then you need to think about that.
Yeah. No, I like that. It sounds like you have 4 different personalities and you gear them all over at, is that 3DMJ.com to check that all out?
Yeah, we've got 3DMuscleJourney.com. That's our main website. And if you like watching YouTube videos, we have youtube.com/team3DMJ. Those are probably our 2 main sites if you like to either read articles or watch content.
And then how can they get a hold of you personally?
Personally, yeah, I've got a Facebook page, and that's Eric R. Helms. I think if you Google that, then it's probably the picture of me. If there's other Eric R. Helms out there on Facebook, I'm sure there are. And definitely send me a message on there. And if you're interested in coaching, check out 3DMuscleJourney.com. We've got an application and also an email where you can contact us for information about that.
And if you listen to this last hour and a half and you really like the cut of Eric's jib, you know, you can, what he says really resonates with you. Maybe he speaks your language, or he pushes you past your normal way of thinking. You really connect with him. I'm sure they can go to you personally, right? Or how does that work?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say probably the best way to do it is send me a message on Facebook, or you can email me at erichelms@3dmusclejourney.com.
Awesome, brother. Man, I tell you, I really enjoyed this time that we spent together. And like I said, we could probably talk for another 4 hours. I do want to have you back, because I want to, you know, there's so many more things on my list that I wanted to talk about, right?
For sure. It'd
yeah,
be an
definitely
honor.
One. Awesome. All right, guys. Hey, well, thank you so much for listening to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. Send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. Tell me what you think of this. If you like this type of thing, tell me what you learned. That would be awesome, right? Because I want to bring this type of thinking out. I want you to understand it's more than the sets and reps and the eating strategies. Find out what those are. Work towards the optimal strategies. But don't forget this all-important mindset. I'm sure that Eric has really through what he's directly said and what he's implied, and maybe in ways that he doesn't know. He's given you a little shot into his mindset. What that created that perfect storm for greatness for him, and maybe you can use everything that you have towards what you love, whether it's, you know, this competing bodybuilding training or not. You can learn from crazy, passionate, successful people like Eric Helms. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, make sure that you give us 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends, share on Facebook. Have a great day.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health. When you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis, go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.